Hey everyone, it's Russ, and welcome to another edition of the Wealth Care Advisor Spotlight. Today, I'm really excited to be joined by Dave Potosky. Dave, how are you doing this morning?
Doing wonderful, Russ. Thank you.
Yeah, well,
happy St. Patty's Day.
Yeah, well, I'm really looking forward to having this conversation with you. Why don't we start by just give us a brief introduction? Tell us a little about you, your firm, and where you guys are based, that sort of thing.
Right. So we're based in Bloomfield Hills, Michigan, which is about 20 minutes north of Detroit. And we put this firm together probably about 20 years ago to really be CPA centric. And what we do is we partner with CPA firms as a center of influence, and we become a strategic partner in the sense that it's a business plan for them and us to help fulfill their clients' needs, whether they're selling a business, retiring, need planning, need insurance, really all aspects of the financial planning process. I've built a team over the years of, you know, between 8 to 10 people, if you count the 401k division that we have. And we have three other advisors other than myself that are part of our organization.
Right. Can you give us a little flavor, Dave, of the firm as it stands today? I know you kind of talked about the structure, the staff, that you guys are CPA centric. But could you give us some context around how many families you serve or your assets or however you think of the firm in terms of metrics that might be relatable to other advisors that might be listening?
Sure. So that's a great question. And so over the years, what we did is we started building some dashboards that I look at on a somewhat weekly basis, if not daily sometimes. And it is assets under management. So personally, I handle a little bit over 300 million. Most of that's advisory based, but there is the broker dealer relationship that we've had with LPL since 1995. So I've been in the business over 30 years, but 25 of them with LPL. And we migrated over to the hybrid concept with WealthCare, a few years ago. So in addition to that, between 401ks and some of the other advisors in my office, we probably have another 150 million. So we're just shy of 500 million. What we did to start, you know, back about 5-6 years ago, we spent some time on who we are and what we do and who we like to take care of. So one of the things that we spent a lot of time in, and I think people don't really look at and kind of gloss over at times, are our core values. And so we started with, what do we really do every day and what are we doing for our clients? And it's because we care, and people can say they care. We put it in writing and we define what it means. And it means that we're striving to protect and do the right thing all the time for our clients. The next thing we looked at is that, you know, we want to treat people like family. So we treat each other internally and externally like family. So we can disagree, but at the end of the day, we have to treat each other with respect. The big one that sounds easy, but it's integrity. And it's having that open and honest and transparent conversation. So, you know, as advisors, we talk about be transparent with your fees, be transparent with whatever the, you know, we're talking about. But it's really important that we dig in with clients and ourselves on a regular basis. And anytime there's a disruption in our process, it's because somebody wasn't transparent on one side. It may not even always be intentional. And the last core value that we have is that we're committed. We always finish what we're going to start and what we say we're going to do. So we built the firm around that, and that's how we hire and fire both our employees, our team and stakeholders, and our clients. And so I started sharing this with clients, and they have to buy into it. And if I've had some people come in, and you can tell they don't treat people like family, and that's not going to end well. Or if they're not going to be open and honest with us, and they're kind of not sharing all the information like they do with their doctor, it's not going to work for us. So that's a little bit about, you know, what we do on a daily basis and how we start. I think, I don't know if that answered your question directly, but if I didn't, if you can reiterate what part I may have missed.
No, I think you hit it on the head, and I think that's great that you guys have not only codified but clearly communicate your values to clients as well as staff, and kind of make that a touchstone of on which the firm is built. I mean, I think that's unique in some respects, but I think more than anything, it's just great that you guys are so open and forthright around that. My next question was going to be about, how these spotlight calls are all about showcasing you and the work that you do and talking about how you're unique and what you do and who you serve and how you serve them. And I think you just answered that, but thinking along the ideas of like your uniqueness as both an advisor and as a firm, is there anything else you would add outside of what you just shared around kind of the firm core values?
No, I think just, again, we've over the years and as a business owner, right? So I have to wear two hats. I'm the visionary of the firm, and we have to worry about payroll, lights, rent, you know, the team, personalities, making sure that everybody works well together. But I'm also an advisor to clients. So the face-to-face with what clients and their expectations are as well. So from time to time, I have to find myself switching hats, you know, simultaneously. The other thing that helps us dramatically is that we're not afraid to hire coaches. So in our CPA world, we've hired coaches. We really just re-engaged with another one that we had in the past to just stay on top of our game and what we do in that industry. And then in addition, I've used something called EOS systems. It's Entrepreneur Operating System that Gino Wickman developed years ago. There's a book called Traction or Rocket Fuel. And it's invaluable to our team. So it gives them what to do every day to meet their quarterly rocks to get to our 1 year, 3 year, 5 year, 10 year goal. And then my management team and I spend on a yearly basis setting what those goals are. So without those, we really become reactionary because clients call throughout the day. So as your week starts, it changes Monday morning at 8, right? When that first call comes in. If we didn't have those rocks in that process in our level 10 meetings every Monday to kind of help each other out and say, how can we become more, you know, valuable to each other and our clients, I think we'd be derailed and we wouldn't have the growth that we have.
Yeah. So something you said there really kind of grabbed my attention, and it's around the coaching and maybe subject matter expertise that you guys are always seeking around your focus on CPAs. So a question that comes out of that, do you consider CPAs your clients, or are CPAs just partners who can then introduce you to clients, or maybe both?
It really is both, Russ, because over the years we realized that not only are they partners in our business and we have the both end goal of obviously taking care of the client and it's a revenue source for them and us, but we treat them, I mean, like the client first, right? Because if I goof up on one of their clients, and that's why the open and honest and integrity and our core values have to be applied across every client that comes in. Because if we lose that trust from the client level, it filters up to the CPA level. And then that deteriorates our relationship. So we really do, you know, make sure that we do that, you know, back and forth.
And so one more question along those lines. So I think whether you consider them clients, partners, or both, I think we've clearly established that CPAs are a sort of a niche focus for you and your firm. So in working with outside experts and coaches, we don't have to get too specific, but could you give us an idea of what value those coaches bring to the table in helping you better understand and serve CPAs? And maybe if you could give a specific example, if one comes to mind.
Perfect. So I think as advisors, we can get caught up into the weeds of the blocking and tackling, which, by the way, we'll talk about why I chose to leverage and use WealthCare for some of our services. And it's about scalability, right? So, but this falls back to the coaching, is that we know for certain that we do a good job, right? But what we don't know are new things that happen if we don't stay relevant. So it's the coaching, for instance, that we re-engage with, that 80% of what they're telling me, I'm like, okay, I can write the manual for this. The 20% that we got so far is just, it's going to just make us not only better, but more relevant and more efficient. So from a process standpoint, all the way down to the client communication and experience. So we even are fine-tuning what we think is a great, you know, agenda that we use in every client meeting, whether it's fact-finding to reviews to presentations. Our what we call something that we just learned is kind of our Lexus service, right, to higher net worth clients. That's in development, but we're using that term and really setting that expectation of what your quarterly reviews are gonna look like and kind of tweaking what they look like and to become more efficient internally versus every quarter trying to get it all done, getting estate planning, getting financial planning, getting performance review, all that in one meeting gets to be too much. at times. So we're trying to break that out into segments throughout the year and to be a little bit more relevant.
Got it. That's fantastic. And I appreciate you sharing that. So thinking of the clients and the CPAs that you partner with, what comes to mind, Dave, when you think of like a favorite client success story? And again, in this context, success can be defined however you choose.
So, you know, I think anytime we fulfill somebody's goals, it's successful, right? To whatever level that is. But a couple that stick out recently, and if, you know, over 25 years, I could probably think of several more. But we had a president of a major corporation come in, 61 years old, burnt out, and thought, I'm going to retire next year. I can't do this anymore. And this is what I want. So we went through our goals-based planning, right, the GDX 360, and he had about a 15% probability of his retirement becoming successful. I mean, way off, not even close. And he was shocked because he had, you know, substantial assets. But after he retired, he wanted a place in Arizona. He wanted a place in Northern Michigan and all these things. But what was great going through the process, it was an aha, I better, you know, get myself together, but it was also a realization of maybe we can scale down the Northern Michigan home. Maybe we can scale down the Arizona. Maybe I can consult for a couple of years and I'm capable of that. I just don't want to do what I'm doing 80 hours a week. So that was, I think, a great planning aha moment for a client and for us to see the rewards of really, you know, it's great when somebody walks in and they got an 85% probability right off the bat. It's a great conversation, but these are the tough ones when they don't work and you got to face that. So that was a win. And then because recently we've had some death claims and some things that we have to work with beneficiaries and they give you the compliment that, you know, they couldn't do this without you. It's rewarding. It truly is. And so I think those are some success things that our team takes every person, no matter if it's 25,000 or 20 million, and they treat them the same in those types of instances. And it's not easy getting through death claims, as you know.
Yeah. No kidding. Not the administration aside. I mean, there's a lot of emotion and psychology around dealing with that, which can often be touchy. So, but those are great examples. So appreciate you sharing those. So kind of not the flip side of a success story, but thinking of it from a different perspective, when you think about your clients and the CPAs you work with, what would you say is one of the biggest challenges that you help people address or solve in your work?
So when we do get in, and again, not all our clients come from CPAs, but when they do, the trust factor is built in a little bit deeper, right off the bat. It's less about us and what we can do for them. But meeting somebody new, I think the hardest thing is financial planning to us seems easy and investing seems easy, but to clients, they're scattered, they're cluttered, and it's trying to build that clarity and pulling all that together and then forming that trust that we're going to do what we say we're going to do and keeping them organized, I'd say would be the headwind that we hit. And setting those expectations and communicating. I mean, we're not perfect at it. We've had a client leave and they thought there's something was shining over on the other side and we were kind of dumbfounded. And that's quite frankly why we put our core values on our agendas now and share that with clients, because I think they cared, they treated us like family. I think they were somewhat, you know, open and honest with the integrity thing, but there was some communication lacking. And then they weren't committed to our process. And so that deteriorated and they left. The great thing about it was that we won them back. And, you know, 18 months later, they realized what they had was good. And we had an open and honest conversation. They said, you know, we did a retirement plan for them, but she just didn't believe it. I didn't communicate it properly. And she couldn't get her hands around that she's going to be comfortable. And we talked that through and they moved their assets back. And they've been a fabulous client ever since. And so, so that's kind of some of the things that we've learned and the headwinds of just really taking this complicated process that involves more than anybody can really handle in one setting and making sure that we're getting through the segments correctly. So I think that's the hard part of the business.
And you mentioned something about a lot of your clients come from CPAs, but certainly not all of them. Do you have a sense of like what percentage of your either current clients or new clients come from the CPA partnerships that you've established versus those that don't?
Yeah, I would say about 35% of our business is coming from that segment, is from the CPAs. They just happen to be bigger assets, I would say, typically than what we run into from referrals from other clients. They're typically business owners, you know, higher net worth individuals.
I know we've talked a lot about your relationship with CPAs. That's just something I thought I'd ask because it kind of popped to my mind when you mentioned that. So, Dave, what's something that surprised you most about your work over the years as an advisor?
I think just the evolving industry. So I say this sometimes tongue in cheek. I say, I love what I do, but I hate our business. I think what surprises me is that I think technology is getting better, but I think it's the misconception of who financial advisors are. And I don't want to lump us with insurance agents or shoe salesmen or something along that line. But I think what surprises me is how we get categorized with the industry, where I think there's a lot of good people in this business, and the few that tarnish it, it flows into us. And so I think that's what surprises me, that I'll have friends go, oh, you know, you're going to invest my money. And, you know, and they make some comments, and it's all fun and games and we laugh about it. But I think that's the part that's probably frustrating.
What have you guys done, or what do you guys work on to kind of help reframe your role in with a client from, and maybe kind of, you know, help them overcome some of their preconceived notions of what advisors do in general, and maybe more specifically what they think you do before they get a chance to really understand your process and your core values?
So we spend a lot of time in that first meeting, and it's the transparency. So it sounds simple, but when you start telling them, this is what we do, this is how we charge, and not being afraid of it. And again, I'm not perfect at it, and I've undercharged and you know, those types of things. But when we walk them through our process line by line, this is, you know, what the discovery meeting looks like, this is what the recommendation and implementation meeting looks like, and this is what our reviews look like up front. So the more time we can spend up front, the less anxiety they have, and the more beneficial we have of a relationship going forward. So we really try to set those expectations up front. And we ask them, we actually do that in each review. Is quarterly what you'd like to meet? No, I'd like to do it twice a year. So then, you know, we're asking those questions of what they expect. So then, and by the way, we take pretty good notes, and WealthCare helps with that from a compliance standpoint, but we use Redtail and we put as much as we can in, and not that we want to throw something back at a client, but we remind them, well, you know, I thought you were going to call me quarterly. Well, in our last review, you said really call me twice a year, and I'll call you or you call me if we think it's something that's pertinent and changed. So we also have our staff, like when the pandemic hit, we picked a segment of our clients that were elderly, and whatever that means, we defined it as, I think, about 65 or over, definitely if they were widowed. And every 2 weeks to 3 weeks, somebody from my staff rotated and called each client just to check in. So we try to do things that are a little bit above and beyond, try to be a little bit more hands-on. And again, I think that's worked for us.
Yeah. Well, clearly it has. So, and those are great examples. I asked because I think something that comes up a lot in my conversation with advisors is, you know, setting those expectations and not only setting them, but following through. And it sounds like you guys have both the people and the systems in place and do a really good job of that. So that's fantastic.
You know, one of the other things that I could add to the question, you know, of, you know, what we do, and I think we've taken the approach of, I don't need to make every dollar that comes out of a client's fee for myself. So the team's one thing, and you got to build that if you're an individual advisor, you know, one person at a time with a vision and a goal. But I think where I think advisors lose sight and what I'm surprised about in our industry is how people are afraid to scale up and use somebody like a WealthCare and say, I can't do everything and I can't do it. And even if I could, I can't do it well if I'm doing it all the time. Find the spot that you're best at. And it might not be investments. It may not be planning, right? It may not be client facing for that matter. You know, so it may be you're the person in the background doing those things. But find that, you know, passion that you like. And that's why, quite frankly, we affiliated with WealthCare, is that I can spend more time with clients because of the systems you have, because of the systems we put in place from the coaches we use and the operating systems for my staff. And so while the numbers look great, we invest in ourselves. And that surprises me about the business, how a lot of advisors don't do that.
Why do you think that is? I mean, we could probably talk for hours on this topic alone, but why do you think a lot of advisors are so hesitant to partner and or outsource with not wealthcare specifically, but providers and platforms like wealthcare?
Fear of the unknown. So I would say we all go through it. I still go through it, right? As I grow and give more responsibility and delegate more, because by the way, I do everything perfect and I do it the best. That's all our thoughts, right?
Yeah.
But I can't continue to grow. And if my goal is to take care of people and care about more people and more people, whether I'm doing it personally or my team is, if that's my goal in life, how can I do it in a scalable way? And so I've learned for me that I think investments have become commoditized to a large degree. I think we bring value in the alternative space, but I can leverage your team or LPL's team or somebody's team on the research side and get pretty close to what I want and fulfill my clients' needs without taking anything away from them. Comes at a cost, but now I can do more of it. And I'm not doing more just to make more. I'm doing more to do more, right? And so that's the difference. Now, along the way, we get paid, and that's the benefit of it.
Right, right. Yeah, well, yeah, I'm always curious to hear people's perspectives on that. So thanks for that, mm-hmm. that viewpoint. So a little bit of a different question. Let's say a college student approached you and said they're interested in becoming a financial advisor. What advice or guidance would you give to him or her?
Not to come in the business. Just kidding. So I love
that, and that's the end of the show, folks. Thanks.
Yeah. No, I think it's going to be tougher for young people to come in just because I think the business has changed, right? And it's gotten the fee compression doesn't allow somebody to start out on their own and create a great lifestyle. So I think they're going to have to join a firm. And so this is where I get to. I think they need to latch onto a great person as a mentor, another advisor, and or a team to where they can grow and learn along with them and probably be supported along the way. I don't think it's as easy as when, you know, we started and you could hang your shingle on the, you know, on a door and just start calling people, right? I mean, there's so many restrictions to that. There's not the you know, not that commissions were a bad thing back then, but it helped you get along, right? So I think we're at a better advantage today than somebody starting out. And then stay educated. This industry is changing quickly, both on the technology side and just the availability of different investments and I would say plans, you know, software, the technology. Little plug for WealthCare again, why we chose to be with them. I think you're on the forefront of always trying to add value to our firms, which passes through to our clients. And so I think that's going to be hard for a young person to start in and jump in and have the capabilities we have without, you know, really having that mindset.
Yeah. 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 Those are all great points.
And then, two more real quick is you're going to have to be flexible. It's not going to be like you came out of college and, you know, it's going to be like the textbook and then being humble, because this business can humble you really quickly.
Yeah, no kidding. That alone is a great takeaway from this conversation. Speaking of takeaways, as we kind of start to wrap up the conversation today, Dave, if there were, and we've talked a lot about a lot of great topics, and I think you've already identified a lot, several nuggets that listeners can take away. But if there were one thing that other advisors could take away from our conversation today, what would you want that one thing to be?
Just don't do it alone. Start thinking about how you, and even if you have a small team, how can you expand the team to do the things that you should not be doing? You know, and it sounds really simple. I get stuck on it all the time. I think that, you know, my staff can do more, but they're doing more of the things they shouldn't be doing. So, you know, just keep leveraging the experts, right? They're experts for a reason. You know, Red Tail's an expert in Red Tail. I don't need to rethink that. Orion does, you know, aggregation, you know, why would I try to do that myself? You know, again, even the people on your staff, just keep using them for their core competency and don't get style drift from them as well. You know, the operation person shouldn't start inputting plans and the planner shouldn't start doing operations. And every time we cross over that and try to help out each other, it creates a bigger mess. So really that would be the thing is leveraging the experts and stay in your passion and your core competency.
All great points. You've mentioned WealthCare several times during the conversation. When did you guys actually start working with WealthCare? Do you remember?
I think it was 2018.
Okay, so a few years now. How would you characterize the role WealthCare has played, and how has WealthCare helped you and your clients?
Yeah, so I think the end product that we use from you is how my clients have, you know, succeeded. So that's their experience, that they don't know how the sausage is made, but they get the end result. I think what we've embraced, and we kind of ripped the Band-Aid off, because I used to build the portfolios and I quote unquote did the research and spent the time. But again, I think your team does a fabulous job. We have probably too many choices to make. It gets confusing at times, but I've found the models I like, so I use that. Leveraging technology. I am not a technology guy. I'm anti-technology and trying to, you know, I'm a yellow pad and pencil kind of guy. But leveraging it has really helped me and my firm. And then actually what we found is the marketing team has really been instrumental in helping us rebrand and do some of our brochures. So I think if somebody was at WealthCare, and even we have been lax at it from time to time, is that what are the things that you provide and start using them, right? So there's such a vast amount of knowledge and tools that you guys have that people really need to dig in and start using them. And then I could say compliance has gotten much easier around here because of the affiliation. I mean, nobody likes compliance. You've taken, not you, but WealthCare has taken, you know, a good chunk of that off of us. And again, now we can spend more time with clients.
Yeah. And that's, you know, I think for most advisors, that's ultimately what it's all about, is more time with clients, or more time to spend with your family or outside the business. So that's 100%. 100%. That's great. Well, we love having you guys as part of the WealthCare family. So looking forward. So Dave, we've talked a little bit about where you've kind of come from, where you are today, what you're working on. Where, looking forward, let's say over the next 5 years, like where do you want to see your firm and your organization going?
You know, I'm still trying to figure out what I want to be when I grow up, but I think more of the same. I think what we're trying to do is be a little bit more like an enterprise. So as we're growing, making sure that we don't lose sight of our core values, make sure we keep our in efficiencies. And so it's really just continuing to build. I'll probably take, you know, even a stronger leadership role as that starts to develop, and we'll have advisors, you know, a little bit more present versus me being client facing, you know, day to day. So that'll probably migrate into a little bit more of a CEO role, you know, if you will. And then we continue our next phase and our goal is to add probably double the size of CPA firms that we're committed to, you know, now of servicing. So we have 5 firms and we'd like to get to that 10 to 12 in the Southeast Michigan area, and maybe even expand that, you know, out to the Midwest a little bit.
Wow. Well, it sounds like an exciting plan and path forward. So we'll have to maybe check in with you again here at some point down the road and kind of get a status update on how that's unfolding for you guys.
Yeah, I would love to.
So as we close it out today, Dave, what any closing thoughts, any final thoughts, anything you want to make sure that you have a chance to share with our listeners?
No, I would share with the listeners, and especially if there's other advisors, I'm always an open book. I would welcome a phone call. I would be glad to share, you know, if they have specific questions anytime, or an email. And if it's not me, if it's not my competency, I'd have my staff member call back if it was specific to one of them. That, you know, we've got some other advisors in the area that I'm competent enough, other LPL guys that are not part of WealthCare, that we share a lot. We have our operations people get together from time to time. We share agendas. This business is tough enough. Don't try to do it alone. So that's what I would probably share.
Well, I that's a very generous offer to speak with people that might be interested in learning more. So with that in mind, what's the best way for people to either learn more about you and your firm, or to get in touch if they're interested?
So I think, you know, through my email would be one way, or our website would be another way, which is www.wealthcarewms.com. So wealthcare, wealthcarewms.com.
Got it. And we'll be sure to include a link to your website when we publish this episode. Dave, this has been great. I always enjoy speaking with you, but really appreciate your time this morning and your willingness to share a little bit about you and your firm and your journey. And we all wish you the best of luck going forward. And look forward to keeping tabs on you and talking again soon. So thanks, Dave. Really appreciate it.
Great, Russ, and we appreciate the relationship and from what you do. You provide a lot of content, and again, I think we're continually learning all the time, and I love that part, right? Because we don't know what we don't know, and with you sharing what you share and the other advisors, I think we're all helping towards a bigger goal, taking care of our clients. So thank you again.
Yeah, well, appreciate that, Dave. We'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, bye-bye.